Good morning. It is Sunday, October the 27th, and this is Ask the Mayor. I'm Chris Duffy, joined as always by Mayor Patrick Taylor. And Mayor Taylor, you're joining me on a beautiful fall morning, coming off the heels of your final community coffee for 2019. This past Friday, the subject, basically everything you want to know about the town's fiber optic broadband network. How did it go?
It went great, Chris, and it is a beautiful day. I do want to thank the Hudson Library for hosting the event. Casey Kladowski is the staff person I work with, and you know, we do this starting in March and go all the way through October, so there'll be a little break that I'll have now for the coming months, and then we will resume the community coffees. You know, I like to think of them as town meetings, and at this last one, I think the subject, the fiber optic network, was really of interest, and we had at least 60 people there. That room was full, and I appreciated having Matt Schuler, who is our director of GIS and all of our internet operations at the town, and who has played a critical leadership role in developing this fiber optic network. He was there along with the crew of Altitude Broadband, and they actually did some demonstration showing how the fiber can be, you know, transmitted from one point to another. And also it showed how they actually go about splicing the fiber if it's broken. That was a real topic of interest, as to if the fiber goes down, how do you put it back together? And they actually brought in the machine and showed people how they fuse that fiber optic glass together. So it was a very interesting coffee with a lot of questions.
Mr. Mayor, this past Thursday, I took a long walk around town with my lab puppy, Sadie, about a five-mile route, and my boss might consider that a leisure activity. I call it show prep, because I saw lots of things going around town.
Okay.
And the first thing was, part of our walk, we come down the Oak Lane sled run, then out onto Oak Lane, and I almost kind of lost my bearings, because something didn't look familiar, and it was the fresh pavement on Oak Lane, and that was fully paved. I understand Hickory Hill has already been fully paved as well. But one of the roads that was slated for paving is not fully paved yet, and that would be Calisaja. What's happening there?
Okay, and I'm getting the same questions, Chris, and the question is, why didn't you just pave the entire length of Calisaja? Basically, what we did, we paved half of Calisaja, starting at 64, going down to the lake. We spent almost $250,000 on that one paving job. And the whole idea has been that the lower part of Calisaja is in fairly good shape, but it will need to be repaved. So that's the first priority for paving for next year, to finish that part of Calisaja, so that'll be paved too. But we just felt like we needed to kind of distribute the money to address several critical needs like Oak Lane and Hickory Hill this year. So that's why we did not do it, but I want people to in that area to realize we will resume and take care of that in the coming fiscal year.
Well, as I continued on my walk, I ended up going through Kelsey Hutchinson Founders Park, and I saw crews there putting up Christmas lights. They had a cherry picker there, and they were putting up some lights in locations that I don't recall seeing them before, and actual decorations. These were like these really big, maybe 1 or 2 foot diameter balls going in there. Is there new stuff going in for the town Christmas lights this year?
Correct. And let me just give you a kind of an overview of what has happened. In past years, our town electric crews have been responsible for putting up the lights in the park. While they did a great job, it kind of diverted their efforts to having to string up Christmas lights, and they are still committed and have to put up the big lights on all the utility poles. That will continue. But the Chamber of Commerce came to us this year and said, we'd like to hire a professional company that does this, you know, all the time, and we will pay for it. And we think that this is something that the chamber should be doing, especially when we have that great ceremony after Thanksgiving, that Saturday after Thanksgiving, where we have the choirs and the groups come and sing, and then we have Santa Claus and the lighting of the town and the Christmas tree and so forth. So they met, the chamber representatives met with our recreation committee, which is our staff and several, you know, town commissioners, and they came up with a plan that the Recreation Committee thought was just great. And they were given the go-ahead to go ahead and start stringing the lights up, including the Christmas tree. So that's what's been going on. And they've been able to expand the amount of lights and the type of lights that will be in this year's park lighting. Yeah, I think it's going to be really a unique event when we turn these new lights on. And some of the things that I think you've seen there, they've even put these lighted balls in that beautiful maple tree in the center of the park. And then they've been going and adding some extra lights here and there. So I'm really excited about what will happen when we throw the switch and the entire town is lit for Christmas.
Certainly looking forward to that. Well, while I was in the park too, I heard some music playing in the background and noticed some town workers hard at work assembling the boards for the ice skating rink. Now, I know we've had some kind of chilly days recently, but not quite ice skating weather just yet. When is the rink going to open?
Okay. They will be putting it together this coming week and the following week. And right now, the schedule, and we did the same thing last year, when we have the Food and Wine Festival, that is the weekend where we open up the ice rink. And yes, we need to have our fingers crossed that we have real chilly weather. It isn't totally dependent on cold weather because we have an elaborate freezing system underneath the ice like you would have with a hockey rink. But if you have warm rain and warm weather like in the 60s, and that's prolonged, it becomes very hard to maintain the
very
quality
soupy
of that ice.
Yeah.
Yes, it becomes soupy. So we've got our fingers crossed that we'll have kind of a brisk, cool, you know, weekend, and people will be able to get out and start ice skating, because that's a very popular recreation event that we have available from Thanksgiving all the way through into the winter.
Mr. Mayor, I know some folks living outside the town have had some issues with Duke Power and a rate increase. Now, I know the town gets their power from Duke. How is that going to affect us?
That was an article reported the rate increase in the newspapers this week. It really won't directly impact our situation with Duke. We are what we call a wholesale customer. We have a contract that goes all the way to, I believe, 2030 with Duke, and our rate structure is pretty consistent and fixed. There are some variations depending on demand and certain times of the year, but we normally pay about $250,000 a month to purchase power from Duke Energy, and then we distribute it on our grid and operate our own electric utility system. So we haven't really had any significant rate increases over the last several years because our costs from Duke have been very stable at the wholesale level. Duke, though, has been increasing rates pretty significantly to their retail customers, and around Highlands, out in some of the country clubs and places like that, they are retail customers. And I know just a few years ago, a couple with their coal ash increases, they had a very high rate increase. I think it was somewhere between 12% and 16%. And now they're coming back to the North Carolina Utility Commission asking for another rate increase. But that should not really impact our rates here in Highlands to any large degree. One of the areas that can impact our rates is in transmission fees. We have to pay money to have that power transmitted to Highlands. It's usually about $25,000 a month. And we could see some increases there, but we haven't really noticed any impact at this time.
Well, staying on the topic of public utilities, Mr. Mayor, recently folks saw an orange truck around town with some men going down into manholes. I'm presuming that had something to do with the town sewer system, but not exactly sure what.
That's correct. And I would suspect some people might think we were having problems, but it's actually preventative maintenance. We contract with that company every fall around October, and they come in and all of our gravity-fed lines, especially in the business district, they actually go down and if you will, clean them out, wring them out to make sure that there's no blockage so we don't have a major sewer backup, especially this time of year where we have so many people in town. So that is nothing more than just a maintenance program that we have that is done every year.
Mr. Mayor, early voting continues for the town board positions this week. And I know you've been speaking to some town poll workers, and you want to kind of present a challenge to our town residents.
That's right. You know, I went by this week to just basically find out how the early voting is going and to thank the poll workers for all the work that they do. They're, you know, volunteers, and it's important that, you know, they do their job and they do it well. So in the course of the meeting, I was talking about that I just hope we had 50% turnout at least. Jody Zahner, who's the head of the whole voting, you know, operations, just let me know that she thinks that this is an election where we're not electing a mayor, but just commissioners. Mm-hmm. So she says in the past, those turnouts are not as high as those years where the mayor's up for election also. So, you know, I stepped back and said, gosh, I hope that's not the case. I hope people will go out and vote, because actually what's at stake, half of the board is up for re-election, and that's important. You could have a real change in the direction of the town based on whether people go out and vote. So I encourage people to go out, research the candidates, look at what they stand for. You know, they've been expressing their positions and views in the newspaper, and then go out and vote, whether you vote early or on Election Day, which is November 5th. I'm just encouraging everybody to get out and vote. We have 900-something registered voters. I would just be delighted if 500, 600 people showed up and cast their ballot on Election Day or even before. So, again, just go out and vote and express your views.
And, well, the thing is, Mr. Mayor, I mean, we've got basically seven people running for three board seats.
That's right.
And literally a handful, even a single vote, could decide one of those or more of those spots. So for anyone who thinks their vote is not going to count, it definitely counts.
You're exactly right, Chris. With that many challengers and three incumbents, and the top three vote getters get the seats, you could get down to maybe two or three votes here and there making a decision whether somebody's elected or not. So, yes, it's an important election.
So, once again, early voting available all this week, and then, of course, on Election Day next week. On that note, we will end this episode of Ask the Mayor. I thank Mayor Taylor for joining us this morning, and we both wish you a pleasant Sunday.